MMA Roadshow, episode number 454. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. He's on a different continent right now, but he's with me right now, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what we do. We get together every single week for 454 consecutive weeks, even if we're on different continents like we are right now. Myself, I'm in Fortaleza, Brazil, the spiritual birthplace of MMA and the true birthplace of the cargo shorts, which we'll talk all about. Meanwhile, Cole Coffee is back home in Las Vegas at the beautiful, expansive Casa de Cole Coffee, just hanging out and enjoying it. Cole Coffee, haven't seen you in a little while since I've been traveling. How are things, my man?
I'm good. I just looked it up. The distance from Fortaleza to Las Vegas is 9,055 kilometers, which I'm not sure the conversion, but I think that's roughly about 20,000 miles.
I think it's like 300 miles.
Who knows with that made up mythical language of kilometers and whatnot. But no, I'm good, man. The weather is good. It's actually feels like it warmed back up. It's like been like in the 60s or something. So it's been nice, even though I thought it was supposed to get a little bit cooler. 69 degrees right now, it says on the old Fox 5 local news. Yeah, man. I like it, man. You know, as much as it seasons are wonderful and, oh, it's the holiday season and we're going into Christmas, we need snow, we need cold. I'm like, no, we don't, because I could still be holly and jolly with it being 70 or 80 degrees. It does not matter. But, yeah, things are nice, man. Just got back from the media day that we'll talk about in a little bit. So over there at the Shanghai or the Shanghai, good Shanghai event, which sadly enough, we'll talk about it again. Nobody still wants to fess up as for why that event moved. I tried asking today Song Yadong. I was like, so tell me, because nobody seems to understand why. I was like, yeah. Why did they tell you that this event moved? And his manager, translator, / whatever in front of me starts shaking his head no. And what? I see Song like looking at him. And Song's like, I'm just a fighter. I don't know these things. I was like, did this motherfucker just give him a signal to not answer the question?
Wow.
And I'm like, what could have possibly happened that people are so mum about why this event moved? Dana has some coy sort of, you know, well, something happened, but it's not a big deal. That's nothing to really talk about or whatever. But here I got a fighter, and I'm like, he's giving me an answer. Like, I know he's got an idea. He was dying to fight in China. He's so let down that he didn't get to fight in China. And yeah. I know he knows why. But for them to sort of have this weird, like, moment, I was just like, bruh. What? Let the man answer. But yeah, so oddly enough, that just, you know, it is what it is. But whatever, I digress. I was talking about Las Vegas, and all of a sudden I'm talking about Shanghai. But yeah, craziness, man. I wonder about that, man. I don't know why. I thought we were done with Apex events here this year. We were ready for the last end of the year big T-Mobile event. But here we are again at our favorite location. I'm not going to complain about being an Apex show. We never complained about the Apex show. Literally, I left my house 5 minutes before when I thought it was supposed to be opening. I looked at the times wrong. I thought it was 10 o'clock doors. It was actually 9:45 doors.
Ooh.
Not a big deal.
Ooh.
But I left the house at like 9:55, and I was rolling into the parking lot like at 10. I was like, baller. I was like, I don't even need to go early. But because when they brought the first person out, it was like maybe 9:38, 9:40 something. Here I am like, why bringing him out 20 some minutes earlier? And then Captain's like, it's actually only 5 minutes. I was like, let me rant. I wasn't ready because I didn't have my stream live, because I thought the stream I thought it was starting at top of the hour.
Yeah.
So I didn't start my stream. So I went back to the back. I was like, what do we got in the hot box? I mean, it's like, there's cookies back here. What do we got? And then next thing I know, they're bringing a fighter. I was like, oh goodness. So I had to, you know, run up there. So I missed the first question for the stream, but it was on the, I did get it on the actual camera, but I just didn't get it onto the stream. But
all right, so
whatever,
a lot to unpack there. First of all, of course, the weather updates are important. That is mostly why people tune in, as we
that's
are
mostly
aware of.
Why people tune in.
Yeah,
which so is, thank you for those that are now leaving the podcast. Thank you. We'll have the weather next week as well, same time, Same place.
All right. We'll see you then. Thank you for the weather update. That's exactly what's important. Secondly, in fairness, not a lot of these media days start on the half hour, so that's a little bit weird. So you get a free pass for me, as far as I'm concerned, as somebody that has attended, I don't know, a couple hundred of these. They don't normally start on the half hour, so you get a free pass. But lastly, and look, you touched on it, and we won't spend a lot of time on it because we don't have a lot of information on it, but there's no way there wasn't some kind of political issue here, partner issue here, whatever, because it's always one thing. And I mean, listen, this is exactly why Dana White will sit there in the media, you know, in the scrums, in the press conferences, and we'll be like, hey, can we ask you about this? And he'll look over to Lene or look over to Hunter Campbell and say, have we announced that yet? You know, and no, you haven't announced that yet. Okay, then nope, I got nothing to say about it, because things like this happen, right? These are the variables they're doing. And I think this is one thing that probably, as easy it is to take shots at the UFC, that you really do have to give them a lot of credit for. The consideration of how many simultaneous events they are juggling at one time, and venues and cities and broadcast partners and advertising partners and all these things that they are keeping in the air at one time to make this whole thing happen, they actually deserve a lot of praise for it. But this one did get officially announced. It took a long time to get officially announced. It did get officially announced, and then after it was officially announced, it was moved back to Las Vegas. And you're right. Nobody has ever really offered up an explanation. People have been asked about it, and they've just kind of been like, you know, it just the Apex is fun. We like the Apex. It's home. You know, you guys don't want to travel near the holidays. You get to stay home, right?
I mean, guys, look at it. I mean, like, look at the beautiful Shanghai skyline. I mean, when you can have, like, the Apex skyline next to the headquarters, next to the new Durango. It's like almost the same.
It's basically the same. And listen, I mean, does that mean that there's long-term concerns or any? No. I mean, listen, they have invested in the Shanghai PI over there. I mean, there is an actual Shanghai PI in addition to the Las Vegas Shanghai or whatever. I don't know if I think we might get deplatformed for singing Shanghai. I'm not sure if you're allowed to say that. Yeah. That probably suggests something.
But then we'll stick with Shanghai.
Shanghai. So do I think there's any like long term concerns? Like, oh my gosh, you know, they're in real trouble over there. No, but I think it's pretty clear that something logistically became a challenge here that forced this change. So it is worth a mention. I'm glad that you brought it up, and I'm glad you shared that little insight, because that's a little piece that would happen off camera for anybody through the rest of history that goes back and watches it, that you were actually able to sit there and witness firsthand.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things, like, if it's logistical things pop up, you know, other little things pop up. The only reason why I think that they don't want to say anything is if, like you said, there could be a political reason, there could be something that actually took place, and they don't want to shame, if it is, say, a government, they don't want to shame the government or do anything to where they said, okay, well, this came up, and now you made it worse by bringing it up to light and made us look at a bad light, where it's almost better where they just let it go and say any other thing or just feign some whatever. Because logistical things happen. Say if there was a flood at the venue and they couldn't have it. Do you think he's going to not tell us that there was a flood at the venue? Of course he's going to say there was a flood at the venue.
Right.
They would try to scramble to find some other location. So it does feel like it was something bigger than just a normal logistical hiccup. You know, and the only reason I could think, and granted, it's all speculation, but the only reason I could think that they wouldn't say anything about it is that the guidance either that they're getting from, like, the Chinese government or their people are saying, bro, the last thing we want to do is put something on it, makes it feel, have them feel shame that it was something that on their end. Because then at that point, then there is the possibility that things could change for your business. You know, there's no reason that they couldn't pull the rights for them to do the Shanghai PI. The Shanghai PI, the actual one. You might invest all the money you want over there. It doesn't mean they can't say, well, thank you for that, but we decided to go another route, and good luck on getting your investment
100%,
back.
I mean, like, right?
Things are different over there. Things are a lot different over there. So, you know, but it is what it is. It's not like it, you know, it's just whatever. Because it would have been interesting to see the event over there. And just for the fact of that, so many fights for fighters from different regions don't get to happen in their area of the world that often. And here was a chance for them to go to this huge market that they're trying to invest in and do all this other stuff. And it didn't happen, you know? And so it's kind of a letdown for them. But I mean, really at the end of the day, do we care that it moved to the Apex? No, not really.
No,
but it's just kind of weird that we haven't got any sort of real clarification as for why this event that you went out and did artwork for. And it felt like the artwork went out like days, maybe a week before they backtrack, and then all of a sudden we started hearing that it was at the Apex.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I think I remember seeing the for us to go to the UFC events, there's a access portal that we have. You go in there to sign up to do credentials. I felt like I saw it on the credential site showing that it was at the Apex before I ever heard like a real statement. It was weird how it all sort of came about, but it is what it is. But it was just sort of weird. But I just thought that, yeah, that was kind of an interesting moment today during that interview where I was like, did I just see something? Did I just see the wink? I just saw the nod. I was like, what's going on here? But it is what
it
is. I'm excited for the fight. I mean, it's going to
be,
I mean, Song Yadong, I mean, how exciting has that kid been his last fights? I mean, I like Chris Gutierrez too. I don't want to tease my pick just yet, but I think I went opposite for where a lot of people went on that particular one. But it's an exciting fight. I mean, there's a lot of good names on this card. Even when we were going through the media day today, I was kind of expecting there being more foreign speakers that we weren't going to be able to get a lot of stuff, but it wasn't like that when we went through the actual media day. There were, I think we only had translators on maybe two to three interviews.
Not bad.
Even Song Yadong himself, for most of his interview, was all in English. And I was like, dude, has that happened before? I was like, has it been fully all English before? I think there was one point where there's a question you wanted clarification. But in my mind, I couldn't remember the last time that we did a fully like English interview with him.
He's been improving. You're right. I don't think it's been fully English. He's been improving. Like, I think it's been to the point where he's like just asked for the questions to be repeated and then he, you know, or to be translated, I should say, and then he answers directly. But to do it fully in English, that's awesome, man. Good for him, man. Props
I thought
him.
So. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
And just to repeat, I mean, you and I say this all the time. I know we feel the same way. It's not that we're saying that foreign fighters have to speak English. Like, we get it. They speak the language of the country where they come from, but it just does help your marketability. The United States is the biggest market, and if you can assist in the ability to market yourself, it helps, man. So props on him for learning that. So, all right, we'll get to all that in a second. I did want to share some brief notes about Fortaleza, Brazil. As I was getting ready for this today, I had to pull this up because I haven't been to Brazil in a long time. You know, this is trip number 30 to Brazil for me, which is crazy. I mean, this is a place that I was at a lot for several years. And then getting down here, first of all, it's kind of funny. Like, I flew into Sao Paulo, which is an airport you and I both have been in a ton. It's been years since I've been in it, but it's funny how you get into a place and suddenly you like visually remember things and exactly, I got to walk this way, and then the gift shop is over here, and then, yeah, customs is down here, and so all that was coming back. And then same thing once we got to Fortaleza as well, like actually, you know, flew into Fortaleza and you know, started remembering the layout of everything. So anyway, it was great to be here. Like I said, it's been several years. I thought I was just going to kind of end up on 29 and number 30 was never going to come. But here I am. I'm here for Brave CF78. We'll talk about that a little bit. My first time working with Brave, who's been a fun organization to work with this week. But as I was sitting here and I was waiting, I was watching actually your stream, because obviously I'm, I think, 5 hours ahead of you here in Brazil. So I was finished up with my work and I was watching your stream from the Apex and kind of watching me today. And I was like, let me get some notes together about, you know, just kind of my experiences in Brazil. And first of all, let me just say, joke about the weather report, but it's like 90 degrees here during the day. And if you remember Fortaleza, it's 90 degrees. It's right on the water, so it's humid as hell. And it's right near the equator, too, so, like, the sun just feels, like, even more direct. Like, it feels even hotter than it is, right? But it's also December, right? So, like, we're at this nice hotel that they've put us up in right on the beach. I mean, you can walk right on the beach. It's incredible. But I look outside, and there's, like, a big – it's not a – when I say Christmas tree, it's not, like, an actual fir tree. It's, like, one of those things where they run a pole up, like, a really tall pole, then bring the lights down on all the sides, you know what I mean?
So it looks like a
cone structure, right? But I got that, and I got some wise men out there, I assume, is what those lights are, and some stars and everything. But it's just, it's funny to me. Like, Southern Hemisphere Christmas, especially on the equator, is, like, weird. Like, how, when you're a kid, do you get into, like, Santa Claus and some dude being, like, covered up in, like, you know, heavy jackets and fur coats and stuff to bring you gifts when it's 90 degrees and humid outside? Like, wouldn't you be like, bro, don't you need some, like, shorts on or something or whatever? So, I don't know. The Christmas spirit is alive and well here in Fortaleza, but it is a little bit weird. And I mentioned those shorts, and it was funny because I went through it here. This is my third time in Fortaleza. The first time I was in Fortaleza was June 2013. It was UFC on Fuel TV 10, Nogueira versus Verdum, which obviously, I mean, you know, UFC champions, legends, but nobody really remembers it for that. They remember that that was the first time I ever wore shorts to media day. Of course, that's what everybody remembers it for, because I was so hot and humid out here. That was the birthplace of the shorts, and it has forever become part of my life moving forward. So thank you to Fortaleza Brazil. I believe I carry you with me in my heart everywhere I go, Fortaleza Brazil. But that was the first time I was here. The last time I was here, this is crazy because the timing on this is wild. I didn't realize this. I didn't put two and two together until I started pulling up the dates. October 2017 for UFC Fight 19, UFC Fight Night 119, Brunson versus Machida. And you might say, oh, Brunson versus Machida. All right, okay, yeah, okay, that's cool, whatever. But that was the night that Colby Covington beat Damian Maia and then just yelled at the crowd for being filthy animals, and they started throwing stuff at him, and they had to rush Colby Covington out. I mean, that was, you know, Colby Covington was already going full heel, right? But I feel like that was the moment where the heel story really exploded. And I ended up, and a lot of people, if you haven't been a longtime listener of The Roadshow or haven't been a longtime follower of my career, you know, you might just know the current state of the relationship between myself and Colby Covington. You might not realize that it used to be different than that. And I actually did an interview with him in his hotel room that night. I think we actually joked that it was like a random location, but it was the Host Hotel, which is like 5 minutes from where I'm staying tonight, and went into his hotel room and interviewed him because he didn't do any post-fight media after that, because you remember they just rushed him out, and had a chance to talk to him. Those were happier times with John Morgan and Colby Covington. So it turns out, Cold Coffee, I'm just saying, I feel like there's been a lot of like important moments in my life here in Fortaleza, Brazil. So I feel like this is like a special place for me.
It is a special place. I sent you a picture on Facebook, if you don't remember, and it's back from that 2013 trip when we had the Antarctica and the Originals on the beach, and it was like the ice was – it was so cold that the ice is like stuck to the bottles. I'll forever have those memories in my mind, just drinking those beers there on the beach. I do have some bad memories of that beach when we found out later on when the sewage was running into the water and it kept rushing up onto the shore and it smelled like shit everywhere on the beach. And it was like one of the most beautiful places ever. And I was like, it smelled like ass because there was like sewage running off into the water. But my Brazilian friends will hate me for saying that. But it's true. I'm not making the story up. But we had some hell of great times there on the beach at night, man, drinking Originals and Antarcticas and Brahmas and all that other good ones. But yeah, I sent you a picture on WhatsApp of that just popped up because I literally pulled up. I was like, I know I got photos from that first Fortaleza trip on my Facebook. And it's funny because I look at the pictures. Obviously, I had a really shitty phone that I took those pictures, because now the pictures look so dated and they look bad. But the memory's still there, man. It was beautiful, beautiful scenery. But yeah, it was just, it's crazy. It's crazy. But man, yeah, it was hot then. I'm sorry you have nobody down there to drink some cold, frosty beverages with you. I think it's better to stay safe, stay in your hotel room.
Yeah, it's. I have met
unless you got some Portuguese speakers with you, it's a whole different game, you know. And because Fortaleza is in, it's a city, but it's not like a Rio. It's not like Sao Paulo where you have a good chance of running into a lot of English speakers.
No,
there's a good chance of, outside of your production, you might not. Maybe in the hotel staff, you might not run into any English speakers at all the whole entire time you're there.
Yeah, I've actually had some trouble communicating with the staff, and I always apologize to them. They apologize to me, and I'm like, you don't need to apologize. Like, I'm in your country. I'm the one that doesn't speak the language. Don't feel bad, you know? But you're right. But you're right. So I do want to go get at least one frosty beverage on the beach. And as soon as you just mention Original, like, I started getting that.
Mouth start watering.
Oh, yeah. I started getting really, you know. So I'm going to go out there.
Well, do it sooner than later. And it's summertime, and if the beaches are full, it's okay. It's what when half of us, because we were crazy and we didn't think anything about it, was like this just playground. It's when the beach is empty at night and it's completely dark that it becomes more unsafe for tourists, even more unsafe for just even the locals. Even the locals are smart enough. They're like, okay, it's dark. There's no reason for me to be here at the beach anymore. But I mean, if it's still sort of light enough and, you know, if there's people out there, it's okay. You know, I would run out and do your thing. But yeah, if it's just you and the cabana, Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
do it
not
tomorrow.
So much. Maybe not so much. Yeah, I'm meeting my new coworkers. Peter Linka is working with us. Paul Brown is working with us as well. So we've discussed maybe going and getting maybe just one, just at least. Just
you
at
have
least,
to.
Just
you
at least put the feet on the
one.
Sand. You know what I mean? You got to go out there. So
well, just make sure the stand isn't stinky. You know, because you know, depending on where you're at,
we know where that might
we happen
go.
To be.
No.
You'll smear which part of the beach you should go on.
It's gorgeous. I think we're like a 5-minute walk from where we were last time. But, you know, look, again, that's been like a long time. That's been, I mean, gosh, it's crazy how long we're talking about. We're talking about from that time
I think
was
10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 10 years from the first time, 6 years since the last time. So it definitely has changed a little bit. It's been beautiful so far. So we'll go check it out. All right. I do want to tell you about Bray CF78 in a little bit. But I want to get to the USC first, obviously, since they are the leader. Although Brave CF78 has been to more countries than the USC has. Or not Brave CF78. Brave CF is an organization. Has
Take
been to more
that,
countries
Dana.
Than the
Take
USC.
Take that, Dana.
It's funny.
Take that, Chatri.
They actually
take that, all everybody.
Take that, everybody. Take that, Don Davis. Take it, the Scott Coker. Take it, everybody. He's just telling. It's funny. They advertise themselves as the most international organization. I was like, hold on. That can't be right. Like that, I mean, that absolutely can't. But I went back and checked the math, and they have actually been to more countries than the USC, which is pretty incredible to
That's
see.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yep,
so
there you go.
They're doing a good job, and I mean, they're making good hiring moves. You know what I'm saying? So obviously they've got. Their
I mean,
mind.
You're not biased. That's purely an unbiased. You know, that's just purely no.
From an unbiased perspective, I'm saying
the unbiased perspective.
The talent evaluation is phenomenal. You know what I mean? The talent evaluation is phenomenal. But no, I did want to ask you about the USC, of course. They are still the industry leader, of course. And you were there covering the media day in Las Vegas. And as I said, I watched a big majority of the media stream. And from what I can tell, it seemed like a full day spent basically on K-pop discussion and finding out all the favorite Korean music. No, but I know anytime Junyoung Park is there, you like to work in your Korean pop culture references.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I just like to make it lighthearted for him because he usually goes up there, and it's funny because he's always going to tell us he's hungry. So I wanted to ask him sort of about what his diet was even outside of it. I was like, oh, we always seen you fight week. He's always hungry. I was like, I kind of wonder what he eats. But I also love Korean food. So I'm always like, bro, say something that would make my mouth water or whatever. But I just like playing around with him. So, yeah, I mean, it was funny. When I was thinking about different shit to ask, you know, I knew there weren't going to be many people. I was like, so I might as well have fun with it and just play around with him. So I thought it was kind of funny. So if you guys haven't watched it, and if you know anything about some of the K-pop bands, you know, two of the big bands out there, one of the boy bands is BTS. Hugely, hugely popular and successful and very, very popular band. Another one that's a female band is Blackpink. So I asked him and I was like, so are you team BTS or team Blackpink? And he's like, you know, that's kind of like asking me, do I like my father more than I like my mother? You know,
funny.
He's like, I like them both, you know? And I was like, good point. Good answer. Good answer. BTS is cool, but Blackpink, go check them if you haven't. Hot. I mean, they're great singers. They're great singers. I'm kind of team Lisa. Lisa's my girl. But yeah, I just had fun with them just to give them something different, you know, and try to check up, you know, like I always usually ask him about anime and stuff. And I he didn't really acknowledge it, but I really try to make a point to, you know, instead of just assume, like when I ask like anime, typically, you know, most people think about is Japanese anime, you know, so. And last time when I asked him about a show, he brought up a Japanese anime. So I was like, okay, cool. So I asked him about Japanese anime, but I went out to learn how to say, you know, Korean animation, which was Hanguk animation or whatever. But he didn't really catch that I said like Hanguk animation. I was like, bro, I'm trying to like throw you a bone and like give you the chance to say some Korean one. But I was also like trying to just be respectful and not just be like, hey, what's the latest Japanese show? When the Koreans are actually making some decent stuff as well, but oh well. But it went over, and I was like, I literally was like practicing the word earlier. I was like, Hanguk animation. I was like, is it really like animation? Because it sounds like it's just animation, but they spell it like all kind of like crazy-ish or whatever. But I was like, okay, I just say Hanguk animation. And like, cause I was saying into like Google Translate, I was like, does this work where you put on the Korean one and you tap to translate in English? So I would say the word and I'm like, yes, it's working. And then I go there and I do it. And I was like, it completely fell flat. He didn't hear. And he just kept talking about Japanese animation. I was like, okay, whatever. And then his translator didn't know. He's like, I don't watch anime. So I'm not quite sure what show he was like trying to say. I was like, it doesn't matter. I was like, I was just trying to make it lighthearted for him, you know, because it's funny. Cause every time I see him, he always lights up. Because I know he knows I ask him usually about stupid shit. And so now it's just become a thing where I'm like, I don't care if I look like a jackass. I'm going to ask him some stupid question just because it's like our thing.
That's right. You
know? So it's like whatever.
You're helping the guy feel comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. You know what I mean? Everything's translated. It's fight week. He's got
and
a
he's
big
on a
cage fight
win streak. So maybe there's something there, folks. I'm just saying.
He's like,
I slap me some.
He goes back to the gym, and they're like, what went right? And he's like, I'm pretty sure it's that guy asked me about Korean pop stuff at the media day. I'm pretty sure that's really been the secret to my success.
Because somebody else started first. They were asking about if he was going to dance, and he's like, oh, people bringing up or whatever. He's like, now people in Korea are bringing it up about dancing or whatever. So then, yeah, that's why I asked that stupid question. I was like, if any K-pop bands ask you if you want to be a backup dancer or whatever? And he's like, I feel like I'm on like America's Got Talent or something because everybody keeps asking about dancing.
So I'm like, going to be –
that's so, media for you. That's us. That's what I'm surprised about more – I didn't even look at the comments. There were probably people shitting on MMA media like, I can't believe these guys are asking about – K-pop and dancing and whatever, and it's like, I don't fucking care what you think. Like, we have a thing, we do so, it, it's fight week. I'm like, whatever.
So I was done with my work here in Brazil. I was working on a couple different things. I was getting my broadcast notes for tomorrow all done. You know, we had the official weigh-ins, we had the ceremonial weigh-ins. I had to adjust some notes, all that. Got done. I sat down. I was like, all right, I know Cold Coffee's working. I'll watch the media stream so I can get up to date on the USC event. So I watched the part where you're talking about, you know, what's your favorite band? You know, are you more of a Blackpink person, whatever? And I heard the answer, yeah. And I laughed. I was like, now that's funny. But at that point, I was like, now, I had already earlier walked over to the grocery store across the street, and I had picked up a couple bottles of water, and I had noticed next to the water there was some Chilean red wine there that was on a pretty good price. It was on sale. And then when you do the conversion
is
rate,
is it still
right
like
now,
5-1? Is it still like 5-1? Roughly,
yeah.
5-1.
It's 5-1. Wow. So I found a nice little bottle of Chilean red wine, maybe two bottles that were on sale. And not
they
only
might
were
have
they,
been the double wide bottles. I'm just saying they might be like equivalent of four bottles.
I'm just saying they were on sale, and then you add in the conversion, and I'm like, all right, cool, this is easy. So, I'm not a heathen. I'm not just going to drink straight out of this bottle of Chilean red wine. So I need to go get a glass, right? And there's no glasses in my room. It's a nice hotel, but I didn't have any glasses. So I heard that answer, and I was like, all right, that's funny. All right, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. We've reached that point of the interview where we're just doing that stuff. So I walked out of my room. I went downstairs. I'm on the 10th floor. I took the elevator down to the first floor. I walked over to the bar area in the restaurant, and I was like trying to get a glass. I couldn't really communicate with anybody because, again, as we mentioned, here is one of the least kind of English speaking country or cities in Brazil that we've been to versus like Rio and Sao Paulo, where there's a lot more. Again, I don't blame them. I'm just saying, and I'll be honest. I did 29 trips to Brazil, and my Portuguese got decent, but it's been 6 years, so my Portuguese isn't there anymore. Yeah. I don't have that confidence anymore. So finally, I was just like, I saw a glass on the table, and I just grabbed the glass, and I walked back to my room, went up 10 flights, you know what I mean? Got back into my room, sat back down. I'm like, I wonder who's up next. And I sit back down, and it's still Junyoung Park, which I have no issue with, except that now it's Cold Coffee talking about anime. And I'm like... How have I been gone this long? And we started with Korean pop music, and now we're on Korean anime. I'm like, Cold Coffee is legit going to launch KoreanPopCultureJunkie.com, and he is going to be the foremost English-speaking expert on Korean pop culture around the globe.
It's the hard-hitting news they didn't know that they wanted, but they got it anyways. I think I dived back in. I think I went back into a couple fight questions before I went into it, but I could possibly didn't. I might have just did follow-ups to the BTS and the dancing and all the other particular one. You know, I'm gonna say it wrong, but I want to say like Kuppa or something along those lines. COPO or COPPA or something like Kuppa is like you could say is like a cup.
Oh,
so I think like when down there or something like that, something along those lines.
I tried Vaso because that's my fallback.
If they gave you a vase, that would be awesome.
That would be funny. When I don't know anything Portuguese, I just automatically default to Spanish, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work at all. Sometimes it's just terribly off. So anyway, but I got a little laugh out of that.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, the hard-hitting news you didn't know you wanted, but you got anyways.
All right, let's talk about the main event, Song Yadong versus Chris Gutierrez. You touched on Song Yadong a little bit earlier. I mean, the dude has talent. The dude is on the rise. I was a little bit, maybe not, but yes, surprised to see the line and just how heavy of a favorite Song Yadong is. I get it. He's that good. He looks like he's that guy. He's that next generation. But I feel like Chris Gutierrez is a dangerous guy. I do feel like, and I saw a little bit, I didn't see all of Chris Gutierrez's scrum, but I did see a little bit of it. I do feel like he always has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, which sometimes I like, sometimes I don't. I can't decide with him if I think it's a good thing because some people need that to fuel him, or if I feel like sometimes he's feeling like people are doubting him when they're not doubting him, or they distract. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like there's a little chip on his shoulder. I don't know what it is, but I feel like he's more dangerous than a plus 300 line would indicate. I believe Song Yadong is a deserved favorite here, but I do like this fight, man. And even if you look at it and be like, man, Song should win this fight, I still think it should be fun. Like, even if you feel like you think you know the result, like, I think it should be fun as long as it lasts. So, I guess, you know, you touched a little bit on what you saw today, but I guess anything you got out of Chris Gutierrez, and do you think this is more competitive, or is the line just accurate that he's a great fighter, but maybe it's just a bad matchup?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's competitive because I'm trying to play catch up, which I don't think I am on staff picks, but I went Gutierrez on this.
Okay.
You know, he was a champion in another organization. I mean, I think he's a guy that's coming in. I think everybody's expecting Song, and even Song, Song expects every time he goes out there, he's going to just smash these guys, and he wants to get them out. Gutierrez is tough, and there's the possibility that he can catch those hands as well. So I definitely, I do feel that Song Yadong is the clear favorite, but that line seems a little bit big for me. But, part of it's gamesmanship. I'm trying to make up some picks, but honestly, Gutierrez is tough. He's gritty. He's fighting for a lot out there. I mean, he's been one of the ones, and he goes on in his interview too, because I tried talking about when does that moment happen for you when the nerves go away, when the scaredness goes? Because he mentioned something earlier about, at some point, at the beginning of the fight or before a fight, he's feeling those scared emotions or whatever. I was like, so when does that go away from you? And he's like, I'm always scared. And he's like, I'm always scared. He's like, who isn't scared? And then he's like, maybe I'm speaking out of turn for the other guys. He's like, but I think it's all bullshit when guys say that they're not scared when they go in there, thinking of the nature of what it is. And I love guys that are just, he's so in tune, I think, with his feelings and other stuff, where it's one thing to just say, to just be so bold and like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to smash this guy. We know that they need to have that mindset to go in there and be like, I'm just going to go in here and smash this guy. But there's something refreshing too, like when we saw the Donald Cerrone's, that's able to admit that I'm always going to have these feelings, but it's a matter of overcoming that and pushing forward. So it's like, it's hard to not root for a guy that's willing to kind of share the thoughts that I think all of us feel, there was that time I got in that bar fight against a guy through that lazy leg kick. And I would be lying to you that if as drunk and confident I was that you still didn't have those doubts in your head, so like that's a random ass bar fight. Imagine like you're getting paid to go in there and everybody's watching and as he said, like you're half naked and everybody's going to be talking shit about the performance or whatever. How can you not have anxiety of those moments? So when fighters are able to kind of talk about that and be like, I just find that refreshing as opposed to always hearing somebody like, I'm going to go out there and smash my opponent. Right. I'm going to go in there and make a highlight reel. I'm going to show why I need to be a title contender, which that's all great and good, but there's something nice about the realness of a guy like Gutierrez going out there and actually saying what he's really going through. And like you said, maybe he does have a bit of a chip on his shoulder because, you mentioned the odds and he's like, I always feel like the underdog when I'm going out there. We've heard from other fighters before. Some fighters thrive on that. I think they thrive on the fact of, the world's against you. What are you going to do to prove them wrong? And I think some of those guys use that to drive them forward and pull these performances out that are amazing. And this is one of those ones I think that can happen. Mm-hmm. We know what Song wants to do. He wants to go out there and he wants to show his power and his quickness, and it's great. But, when you watch his fights, that's what it seems to be. It's striking. If his striking's on point and if he sort of overwhelms him, the fight usually goes in his way. But if that striking doesn't hit and if he's not able to overwhelm these guys and then it becomes a war of attrition, I think Gutierrez is the kind of fighter that loves that kind of fight. And then, you know, then things start changing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of fight that I think it might possibly be, is where he's going to be tougher than I think, and his chin's going to show up bigger than what Song Yadong's expecting. Yep. And then if it becomes a battle of attrition, here's a guy over here that I think when he wants to, and I asked him, because he brought up something about his goals and he's working for his dreams and whatever, and I was like, so what does that mean to you? Like, what are those goals? What are those dreams? And it wasn't about just being about a title or whatever. He's like, about being a better man, a better person to provide for what I need to provide for and all this other shit, And that to me, that's like dad strength. That's like that, when somebody realizes that there's something bigger outside of himself and their own, their own needs,
yep,
that it gives them something to not give up on himself, yep, because he has something to work for. And that's why I think Gutierrez, I mean, he's got that fire, man. He believes in it and he's got a reason to give it all out there. And in a war of attrition, that's the key. That's the victory right there. Yep. When you have somebody that's willing to give everything and has something to fight for, that's the most dangerous opponent that you're ever going to face. So I did lean Gutierrez. I mean, part of it was gamesmanship, but another part, I think he's got it in him. I think he's got it in him. Could I be wrong? And could it be over quickly if he thinks he leaves his chin out there for Song to get? Song is so powerful and so quick. Then maybe I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that this fight could be a lot better than what most people are initially thinking of it.
I agree. I think you laid it out perfectly, man, and I completely agree with you. So competitive matchup, and like I said, even if you think the result is a given, man, I still think the fight's going to be fun. So I'm actually looking forward to that main event. Co-main event, Anthony Smith, Khalil Roundtree Jr. Khalil, such an interesting guy, right? Always just so thoughtful, like philosophical. I mean, it's crazy, yeah, right? Because literally one of the most violent dudes on the roster, but yet is just this, thoughtful cat that comes out there and really talks about all the mental aspects of the game. And, you and I talk a lot about the mental aspects of the game, but it is one of the reasons I love this sport so much, man. It's not just the action. It's the idea of the fears you do have to overcome and the nerves you do have to overcome and the sacrifices you do have to make to be successful at it. And I think he always voices those really well. Meanwhile, you got Anthony Smith, who obviously is a great interview, a great talker, a great analyst, a true veteran of the game. And I think a guy that I appreciate him. He laid it out there today too, right? He said, look, man, sometimes when I'm not in fear, I think I get a little complacent in there. He's like, this dude, I know, you can't get complacent or he is going to detach you from consciousness, and that's why it excites me. That is a type of attitude that fighters have that normal people like me and you don't have. I'm like, I want the easiest fight and the guy that I'm least scared about. And Anthony's like, no, man, I want that dude that scares me and gives me fear. But I love the way he voiced it. So this is an interesting matchup and one that I think, understandably, Khalil is a pretty heavy favorite in here. He's a dangerous dude. He seems like a guy on the way up, whereas Anthony Smith has been a guy that's been around forever. I won't say on the way down, but like has just been there for a long time, and you're looking at these new names. But, I mean, Anthony's a veteran, and Khalil has been known to make some mistakes along the way and slip on some banana peels here and there. So, interesting fight here. Did you get any feels today? Did it change anything as you're chasing this picks championship at the end of the year for an MMA Junkie?
I mean, I did lean Khalil in this one, and that's no slight on Anthony. I just think it's the fact that Khalil's been ready for a fight and he's been training for a fight, whereas Anthony's kind of jumping in. Right. He gave benefits as for what that was, but I mean, this is a dangerous fight. I mean, I give all the respect in the world for Anthony for taking this fight. He's fighting backwards in this fight. I mean, when you're you're already close, or you're in the top 10, why on earth, most people would think, why on earth would you ever fight somebody outside of the top 10? Yep. Here's a guy that's like, I want to stay active. I want to stay fighting. It's better for me to keep moving forward, to keep fighting, to keep those skills going. One, we know it's another paycheck, but we know he's getting paychecks for his analyst work. So it's not like he's maybe hurting for money, but
right. Got to take that paycheck. Got to get that money. Yeah. Or how do I pay my mortgage this month?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, and you almost wonder, you know, when you see other guys, like recently when we saw Michael Chandler, you know, it's like the idle thoughts, you know, when you're, the hands are idle. I know there's a, what's that cool phrase, you know, idle hands is the devil, or idle thoughts is the devil's playground. I don't know, something along those
it's
lines.
Like the devil's tools or something like that.
If you're, well, if you're not busy, then you get yourself into trouble, because then you start thinking about all kinds of other stuff. It's like, I'd rather be fighting and preparing for a fight than to just be sitting down idle or whatever. But, how can you, I mean, when you look at the power, I picked Ryan Spann when Ryan Spann fought Anthony Smith. I thought he had the striking, and I thought he had the jiu-jitsu, and I was like, this is just going to be too much. You know, not maybe it was, I'm not one of these guys, because Anthony brought up about how a lot of people seem to be already writing him off and saying he doesn't have a chin and all this other stuff, and he's putting that chip on his shoulder, and he's going in there because he wants to prove something. I'm not that particular guy. I just thought that Ryan had the tools, and I'm heavy Team Fortis MMA, you know, homer 100%
yes,
too,
yes,
so that kind of weighed in it as well. But in this fight, you know, I kind of was like, you know, hey, is this sort of another revisiting of the Ryan Spann where you have another crazy hitter, but maybe a guy that doesn't have the jiu-jitsu or the ground game of like Ryan Spann, you know, Spann just kind of pulls those, you know, crazy guillotines and other kind of chokes out of nowhere. Whereas Khalil, you know what you're going to get. The guy's going to either knock your block off or ground and pound you to death, or you catch him, you know? So, I mean, I'm excited to see this, because I think, you know, and especially how Anthony phrased it, he's like, yes, of course, there's always that possibility that, you know, he could knock me my head off if I'm not paying attention. But also, too, going in there and wanting to test yourself against this crazy striker. But then if you can get it to your way and get him down on the ground, because people don't tend to get him down on the ground. You know, he's got pretty decent takedown defense as well. So I think those challenges is what made him excited. So I'm excited to see, because it could go multiple different ways. You know, there's people that, if people are doubting Anthony's chin and his defense on striking, this is going to be a crazy fight to watch, because you're going to be expecting that the knockout's going to come at any moment. And for those that are like, well, Anthony, man, if he just gets him on the ground, it's done. You know, you're going to be watching with every anticipation, thinking like, oh man, when's the takedown attempt? Is he going to try to strike him? Is he going to try to get him down? So there's always going to be something exciting about this fight. But I think you got two guys that are tough as nails. Even if it goes to something of a decision and nobody gets a finish, you know, with their skill set, that it's going to be an exciting fight, because there's going to be so many possibilities that this could go and end in any particular point. So both guys are coming in focused. They're ready to go. Like you said, Khalil was just so reflective. You ask him how his day was, and he's like, well, yeah, you know, and it's just like, and then he answers, he's like, bro, what?
You're really giving me an answer. Yeah.
He's so self-reflective, and it's just awesome, you know, when he's in his stride and when he's telling other stuff. And we've seen him out there as well in the past, where you remember when he was dealing, it was like, he's come up with a mental side of things or whatever. And I remember he sort of chastised the media. He's like, you guys aren't asking the right questions.
Yep.
You know, we ask about the fight week stuff. We ask about this and that, but you never ask kind of like what the fighter's going through at that moment, you know? And we've even said that as well, you know, like we at times take them for granted. It's like, how are you going to finish this fight? Give me this quote. Tell me this. How bad are you going to kill him? What do you think about his skill set? Where really the fighter's like, man, shit's been kind of rough right now. I kind of wish one of you would ask me like just how I am, you know? So I remember at that time when he sort of chastised us. So every time I see him, you know, I kind of almost feel like we have to give him that platform, because if not, he's going to be like, there was another chance. Y'all could have got something better out of me, but you didn't ask the questions that's maybe not glamorous, or it's not going to be that headline phrase. So oddly enough, it was great. You know, one of the other reporters here, one of our young UNLV students that now has been attending a lot of events, you know, sort of brought up the mental side of things. And he's like, you know, I saw that you're taking up golf to kind of, you know, and swinging the balls to help like work with like the mental side of just how he approaches sports and just dealing with stress and other stuff. And he's like, thank you. He's like, I didn't think I'd get a chance to talk about this. And then he goes on to talk about golf and strike, you know, hitting ranges and other stuff for probably another 5 or 10 minutes, man, just talking about golf. I was like, what happened here?
Yeah.
You know, but it was cool. It was just cool to see his mindset, but just see the things that he uses to kind of do something outside of the fight game to clear the head, and in turn is actually helping him because of the mental clarity that he's getting from the golf game. He's able to take that back into his fight preparation and stuff. So it was really, really cool to see it. And I mean, and it's always good to hear Anthony break down stuff. We all sort of asked him about Alex Bahia and his thoughts on that, and he was certainly willing to say that he thinks he's got the skills necessary to beat him and do all this other stuff, which you expect, you know. But I also, you know, one of those things, I think everybody looks at Alex, they think that, you know, maybe not that he's like a one-trick pony, but does he really have the skill set to stay at the top? And that was one of the questions. I said, pull yourself out of this, go back to that analyst head that you have a great great head at, and does he have the skill set to stay at the top? You know, can you see him defending, doing this other stuff? And he gave a great little answer. I won't give it all. I'd rather you guys go and watch some of the interviews or whatever, but it's great. I love hearing him break down fights, and I love hearing him break down his own fights, but I love when he's able to kind of take himself out and break down other stuff, because he really is one of the better, I think, recent analysts at times to really break down some of this stuff. He's got a great mind for it. So both guys were great interviews, and for just like two sort of different reasons.
It's funny, man. You know, you talk about Khalil, and you know, it's as my role continues to change and evolve, and my time away from Chunky is getting further and further. Like, it reminds me of like, it's one thing to ask questions just because you just want to ask a question, but I get it. Like, the media that's covering this, everybody's looking for the clicks, and that's not, I'm not saying that disrespectfully. It's just the truth, right? Like, that's how websites make money. They need clicks. They need impressions. Like, bottom line, whether it be clicks on the website, clicks on social media, that's what. And look, thoughtful answers don't necessarily click. Trash talk clicks. You know, calling somebody out clicks. That gets websites revenue. And so it's kind of this, it's this weird circle where, like, I got into this sport, and I love this sport because of the thoughtfulness and because of, again, I just mentioned it, the mentality that these guys have and the demons that they have to deal with and the sacrifices that they have to make and what they have to do. But at the end of the day, like, those stories aren't what gets websites paid and drives ad revenue. And so we all kind of revert to just the, you know, let's ask the question that gets the line that we know we can clip out and put on Twitter real quick. And it's unfortunate, but it's a reality of modern journalism, not just MMA journalism, but journalism as a whole. So it's cool that Khalil got that opportunity, and shout out to it being a UNLV college student for being the one that was able to ask him that, who at this stage in his career doesn't need to worry about the clicks. It's just being able to hone his craft and enjoy his passion, man. So that's some pretty cool stuff, man. So I like it. All right, let me the rest of the main card. Tim Elliott, Sumadarji, Junior Cart, Andre Muniz, skipped over Nazareth Hapgras, Jamie Malarkey. Like all those guys, Jamie Malarkey, I always love him. I feel like he's the quintessential underdog as well.
I think that's going to be a fun one. I think that's you can't overlook that fight. That's going to be a fun one. I think there's a reason why that one's so close up at the top. I mean, that's going to be a banger.
Oh, it'll be a scrap. But I got to imagine, out of all those names I mentioned, and I didn't get to see his interview. I'm going to watch it afterwards. But just the storyline that happened this week and Tim Elliott. I mean, Tim Elliott's just a straight-up gangster, right? Like, there's no other way to put it. I mean, he had to be the one that stole the show today.
I think it was probably the best person that we could have started off with. I mean, he comes in. I mean, there's so many areas where you can kind of go with him, you know, just talking about, you know, recent his personal issues, but then, yeah, like dealing with sponsorship things and all this other kind of crap. Great energy. It's funny. I feel like this another cat that's been doing it for so long, but you still feel like he's got lots of potential to keep doing this for a lot longer. He was in good spirits, man, especially the fact that, you know, it's a bantamweight. He typically flies at flyweight, you know. But what's cool about this and then him taking this at bantamweight, he's against another flyweight that's at bantamweight.
Right.
So it almost, you almost think like, okay, does it counter itself? And it's like, well, you had a – Sumadarji is a huge, huge, huge flyweight. Like, it's crazy. Like, him knowing that he has that – I think he had 2 pounds. I think today he's like, yeah, he was 2 pounds away from his desired weight or whatever. He looks like he would be absolutely ginormous. But I think I can't remember if I asked him, and he said that he normally walks around with I did ask. I think they said it was around 65 kilos, which, what does 65 kilos think it's like, is that 155,
like one, that's like 142, 143, something or other.
Yeah. So, like, this is his normal, natural weight. So, I mean, he's going to come in feeling, got to be feeling amazing. So, it's going to be interesting. But, man, Tim, oh, my Lord, how can you not, like, just, how can you not root for the guy? I mean, I think that just dealing with what he's dealt in the recent past and just still going out there and fighting at such a high level, and he gives everything out there, and he's always been very honest and open in his interviews, and especially about, you know, things that a lot of people would not want to bring to light. You know, he kind of shares everything. He's like an open book. But, man, if it takes some, you know, just anybody that's ready to do a short notice fight, we've heard, you know, and that was one of the questions I asked some of these guys earlier today, you know, benefits that maybe we don't really even think about. You know, obviously the weight cut is one of those things, but, you know, just going back to just the mental side of things, that's less weeks of where you're going to be in your own head, killing yourself, in your own head, doubting your training, in your own head, thinking like, am I doing all the right things? Or what is my opponent going to do? You know, all the, you know, race, all that sort of stuff, and just focus on the absolutely most necessary things and just work to be the best that you can be. I mean, he came in on great spirits, man. He looked like he wasn't having any problems with weight, obviously, because it was so much, you know, he's going to have an extra 10 pounds of what he normally has to on fight week. I wish, you know, I don't mean, so I guess we don't get to see the benefit of how he would do against a bantamweight, you know, since he's still sort of fighting another flyweight. But, you know, when you start seeing guys that have been doing it for so long and you start realizing, you know, how bad they're depleting themselves to still keep doing that lower weight class as they age, because you know it's got to get harder and harder, you almost want to see them perform well at the next division up so that they can maybe prolong their career as long as they're not taking a lot of crazy head damage or whatever, head trauma. But I'm so glad that Tim added, for me personally, when I was thinking of how this card could normally be, if this card was normally going to be over in Shanghai, it's going to be heavily influenced by the fighters over there. So the fact that we were able to get another American fighter on the card, one, I was happy because it was an English speaker at a media day that I thought maybe we were going to have some issues. But you just know what you get from him, just like when you know what you're going to get from him on Saturday. I mean, it's going to be a banger. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be a lot of high energy. And both guys are gritty. Sumedharja's got some serious power, but man, Elliot is so tough. It's so tough. You know, I don't know if, I mean, I guess a finish is always possible from either side of this. I envision this is probably going to be another one that's going to go to a gritty sort of decision grind out because both guys are really, really tough. But we'll see. We'll see. But no, I was so glad it started with Tim. It was out of everybody on the card. Even if it was Anthony Smith, he's so reflective of himself. Even if it was Khalil, he gets self-reflective. Tim just was, for me, just personally, I think it was just a nice injection of energy and just hopefulness for the fight week, you know, because he was coming in like, you know, hey, you know, what have I got to lose? You know, I'm taking this on short notice, you know, let's do this, you know. So, and they were supposed to fight back in 2021, but that fight fell through. I think Sumedharja withdrew. So, you know, it's kind of cool to just see that a fight that was supposed to happen back then, you know, was actually get to happen now. But, yeah.
I agree with exactly what you're saying, and I think this card is going to be fun. I know this is an easy card to be like, oh, what do I care about? It was supposed to be in China, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's going to be fun. I've actually got a long layover in Dallas on my way home. I actually self-booked a lengthy layover so I can go hang out with my mom and dad on the way back to Vegas. So I'm going to go see my family, but I'll be watching from there. So I know you'll have full coverage, but I'll be watching from there. And, of course, we'll have the and a half episode of our on patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. So we'll get that done and looking forward to that. Now, if anybody's looking for something a little bit different, I will point them to maybe Brave CF78. If you haven't taken in the Brave product before, this will be an opportunity to do so. Used to be streamed on DAZN, still has some international partnerships, but I know in the United States and in a lot of other places you can catch it on Brave TV, you can catch it on YouTube. There's a lot of places to check it out, so give it a shot. I'm actually excited. Like I said, it's my first time working with these guys. To be fair, I joked about them hiring some great talent. They do have an A broadcast team, but their A broadcast team is over in Bahrain doing 3 events in 10 days, which is incredible, and doing this event in the middle of that 3 days, 3 event in 10 day stretch. So they needed some backup talent to come in. So they brought in myself, Paul Brown, and Peter Linka, and we're looking forward to doing this event. Now, it's cool because I'm seeing I'm seeing some great things, and I want to talk about them. I'm not seeing all of Brave because their main unit is kind of over there, so I'm not getting to see the full organization. But the crew that they have here is doing phenomenal. We had the craziest situation at weigh-ins today, and we're going to talk about it on the broadcast tomorrow. But this is crazy. The main event, Luan Santiago, who's the former lightweight champion, he was moving up to super lightweight, and he was going to kind of start trying to make another title run in a new division. But he's facing Jolten Lutterbach, who's this like 50-fight veteran, fights kickboxing, all that. Anyway, Lutterbach misses weight by 3 pounds. Now, Luan Santiago's like, hold on, I'm already moving up a weight class, and you missed weight by 3 pounds. No, we're not going to do that. So the main event gets scrapped, right? But further down the card, you had another guy named Manuel Mena, who also missed weight for a lightweight matchup, but he missed by so bad, he was up at 164 pounds, so he was actually close to basically the super lightweight limit, which is cool. They do 165 pounds here, which I think is cool, number one, because I love, you know, they do 155, 165, 175, and then you go 185. So I think that's a cool thing to do anyway. But the other thing it does from a marketing perspective is if you're the super lightweight champion, you have claims to being the best super lightweight on the planet because there aren't a lot of other super lightweights out there. So on the one hand, I think it serves a good purpose in that, you know, we see that. Why is it, you know, 35, 45, 55, 70? And there's been people for years that have been like, why don't you do 35, 45, 55, 65, 75? Well, they do that here. They do 65, 75, and it makes a lot of sense. But I've said this for years and years and years. I said it back in the day. I remember Big John McCarthy was trying to make this happen in California, and I think Josh Gross was a big proponent of this as well. And I said it at the time, and I'll say it now. It's a great marketing tool because you're champion at 65 and you're champion at 75. You can honestly say they're the best in the world at that weight class because not a lot of other people are in that weight class. So it's good. It's good.
I like it. I
so
dig
they,
it.
So they do that here. So anyway, another fighter misses weight at 55, and he's 64, Manuel Mena. So they decide, you know, Luan Santiago says, I still want to fight. So can you get me Manuel Mena? And Manuel Mena wants to fight. And so they're like, yeah. So we'll put that matchup together. But then they realize, well, hold on. Manuel Mena missed weight by like 8 pounds. We can't put him now in a main – we can't put him in a main event. So they bumped him down from the main event. And then they had a flyweight fight as well, which is like a number one contender fight. It's still going to happen, but one of the fighters there missed weight. So they're like, well, hold on. Our main event missed weight. Our co-main event missed weight. But then they went down to the third fight on the card, Luis Cotto and Vernon Ramos. And these two dudes are prospects, and they're studs, and they both made weight. And so they said, you know what? You two guys made weight. Guess what? You're our main event now. You guys are professionals.
Holy cow.
You guys did it. You're our main event now. Bro, Cold Coffee, ceremonial weigh-ins today. You got this kid from Brazil, this kid from Panama. That they were both excited. They're both prospects. They have some experience, and we'll talk about it. I mean, they're not like 2-1. They have some experience. But, you know, they were third fight on the card. They got promoted to the main event. Bro, the ceremonial weigh-ins, those two dudes, and it was like they were hugging each other, but they were also just like fired up. Like, bro, like you could tell, like they both felt that energy. Like, bro,
yeah,
we got this opportunity. We got the spotlight. We got to go shine. You know what I mean? Like, we were just going to be on the main card. Now we're the headliners. We got to go deliver for everybody. And it was just super, super cool to see that the organization's like, hold on, man. We're going to keep this card together, but you missed weight and you missed weight. So down the card you go. And you two guys, you weren't our main event, but you made weight. You're professionals. You're our headliners now. We're putting our stock on you. Go out there and deliver. Bro, I loved it. I loved it.
That is crazy. That is so unheard of. The UFC was never, ever going to drop. Save Jones and Stipe wasn't a title fight. It just happened to be a regular fight. And one of them missed weight just terribly, but they still can make the fight happen. You think they're going to move them from the main event?
No.
Hell no. That's so crazy. So, I mean, that's very honorable. I mean, if you want to put some incentive on your fighters, like, hey, you think you're going to be the main event? Fuck up, mess around. We're going to take that away from you, you know? So, wow, kudos to them, man. And
I thought it was cool.
Congratulations to those fighters. That's pretty cool.
And they made it happen fast. Like, the decisions were happening quick, and I loved it. And here's the other thing. So, there's another guy named Manuel Marquez. He's the guy that was fighting Manuel Mena, who missed weight by like 8 pounds. So they moved Manuel Mena up to that other fight. But here you have this guy, Marcelo Marquez, that made weight that just lost his opponent because his opponent missed weight by 8 pounds. Like, what's he – I'm not going to fight the guy that missed weight by 8 pounds. But
yeah,
he's from Fortaleza, but they found another guy from Fortaleza who was willing to step in on after the official weigh-ins. Like, the official weigh-ins are over, and they're like, but if you'll weigh in.
18-hour notice.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not even 24 hours notice. You know, he's like, I'll fight. And they're like, okay, but you have to weigh in right now. He's like, I'll weigh in right now. Like, the official weigh-ins are over. But he's like, but you have to weigh in right now. He's like, I'll weigh in right now. He's up a weight class, but now you got two guys from Fortaleza who they both want to put on a show too, right? Because they're both getting a show. So I don't know. I'm excited, man. I think the energy is gonna be good. Like I said, I never knew Paul Brown or Peter Linka before this week, but we had dinner earlier tonight. We've been talking a little bit about during this whole day the official weigh-ins, the ceremonial weigh-ins. So it's my first time working for Brave. Again, they have a chief crew. We're here because their team's over in Bahrain right now, so I'm not trying to come in and pretend like we're taking anybody's spot or this is the new home or whatever. Like, no, but I'm honored to be here, and the energy feels good, man. So if you want to watch that on Thursday night, if you haven't checked out Brave CF78, you know, I'm not saying John Morgan on the mic's a reason to give it a shot, but, you know, if you got nothing else to do on a Thursday night, you know, it's got some storyline, so I think it'll be kind of fun to watch out. So something to throw out there.
I like it. I like it.
We're talking
about
stuff.
The somber. Now we got to talk about the somber shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you said it. You know, listen, we try not to get into politics. We try not to get into, as you said, kind of somber stories. We like to keep this thing positive. We like to keep it light. And we like to have some fun and talk about MMA. But yeah, as this day has unfolded, I know you were in Las Vegas watching it. I was getting it from here. My wife was sending me text messages, which first alerted me, and I went to Twitter as well. To keep up with it as best I could, seeing guys that we know like Adam Hill reporting on it, and a shooting at UNLV, man. And yeah, man, as you were talking earlier about the guys from UNLV being there in the media room, you know, I can't imagine what they were going through, you know, potentially classmates, potentially people they know. But again, it's, you know, another mass shooting in our community, a place that you and I have called home for a long time that had one not all that long ago. And I'm just, you and I look at it from two very different points of view, right? I'm a parent. You're not. School shootings bother me. You're a gun owner. I'm not. So, I mean, you and I are in very different situations. But this to me, and I'll obviously let you speak, obviously, because, you know, I know you have your points as well, but I just, to me, I don't care which way you lean politically. I don't care what your beliefs are about gun rights. I don't care what your beliefs are about human freedoms. Like, I don't care who you are. It has to be evident that school shootings, whether it be colleges, schools of any age, mass shootings in the public, are simply not okay, man. Just these mass casualty events are ridiculous. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know the answer. I know there's a lot of complicated steps along the way about what can be done and can't be done and why it should or shouldn't be done, but this is our community again, and I can't let it go without mentioning it because it was a little bit tough to get started. Once we get going, we get to talk some MMA, and it's what we love. But, dude, this shit's got to stop, man. Like, doing nothing, that's what I do know. I don't know how to make it stop, and I won't pretend to be smart enough to make it go away. But what I do know is sitting around doing nothing is getting awfully fucking old to me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and definitely there's no easy answer to anything. You know, first and foremost, you know, our thoughts and with the families. There were three victims, three dead. The shooter as well died. I think there's one in critical condition. Unfortunately, the shooter can only die once. You know, when you do this sort of shit, you wish you could fucking shoot him, reshoot him, shoot him again.
Yep.
But yeah, the guys in UNLV, I mean, it kind of got crazy, you know. Like, I don't have any close friends. I have some friends that are work there, and I did reach out to them. They said they were sheltered in place. They were locked down in one of the buildings. But to be a student at that time, you know, or to be a parent or something like that, I can only imagine the emotions. Because I know I just being, you know, 15 minutes down the street from it was definitely getting more anxious and kind of, you know, odd. But, you know, on the flip side of things, you know, I know a lot of people, first thing, you know, oh, guns got to go away, this. Honestly, you know, the first thought that popped in my head was, man, it sucks to not be carrying right now.
Right.
Because whenever I go to the UFC, I don't carry when I go to the UFC events. But a lot of other times I am doing carrying, whether I'm going grocery shopping or whatever, I usually carry something. And it's in those moments where it's like, when shit like this does happen, you can't stop crazy. You can't stop people on an agenda to hurt some people. And I know people always will say, well, you know, even if they had a stick, if they could only find a stick, they're gonna hurt less people. That's true. You know, if people want to hurt people, they could take their car and they could hurt people. But there's that moment of feeling, what can I do to stop this moment? That feeling of helplessness. And it's at those moments when I do carry that I feel like, okay, I think I can at least, I can try to stop something. I can try to save myself in a better manner, which is one of the reasons why I do like to carry. And I know a lot of people are like, well, what are you expecting? It's not like we're a war zone. Bro, there's a war zone everywhere. I mean, shit can pop off anywhere. Here we are. It's happening at schools. It tends to happen a lot of times at schools. I think anytime you have crazy gatherings of, you know, large amounts of people, you know, crazy is going to show up, you know. But again, we're not going to make this crazy, you know, political sort of talk about whatever. I mean, it did initially, it just kind of, it immediately brought back feelings of, and the main thing that got to me was everybody was starting to say like, okay, we think there's multiple shooter. Oh, there's, we think the shooter's now, there's a second shooter in the student union and then this. And it all brought back October 1. Because you remember when it was like, everybody was like, oh, now there's a reported shooter at this casino. Oh, now there's a shooter at this casino over here. You know, it was that crazy moments of just the, and part of that was fueled by, you know, one, as it was unfolding, we're finding this out by Twitter, but then it's easy for somebody in one of these situations to put something on Twitter, and then it just fuels the flame of like, okay, now this is going on. And then it just, the fear just sort of keeps going and keeps going. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if I was in that moment, I would want to try to say that what I was giving out to try to help law enforcement or whatever. But it was just, it brought back October 1 for me, because it was just like, I remember that night just felt so crazy, where it was like, it was getting worse and worse as more people were saying, this is happening at this casino, this is happening here. It brought it all back, hearing it here, because they were like, it just felt like it was jumping to multiple buildings and then there were multiple shooters. And then eventually, luckily the Metro and the Sheriff's Department hopped on there and quickly were sort of like squashing it and keeping the information up to date. So it was good to see that they were using the method that most people were using to kind of, you know, put out their info to kind of keep people abreast of it, to I think do a better job of calming feelings and stuff. But it was hard to not have that all be brought back up and just sort of made the whole sitting in a media day feel a lot less important.
Very pointless.
Moment.
Pointless.
You know? Yeah, I was definitely feeling anxious and other shit, but I'll be lying if I wasn't saying like, fuck, why am I not caring? And then I was trying to joke to myself. I was like, I bet me and Strickland can go help out. And I was like, you're just being stupid at this fucking point.
Well, at least you can bring a little bit of light to it, but it's true. I guess that's all I want to say is at least from my point of view, and I think you and I kind of feel the same way about a lot of things, is look, I'm not pretending that I know the answer, and I'm not trying to pretend like neither one of us are real political guys, but I guess what I'm saying is that just like, if you hear what you think the answer is and you think that's not the answer, then please just figure out what the answer is. You know what I mean? Like, if you say, nope, that's not right, cool. Don't, and honestly, this isn't anything, but especially in this situation, if you hear a proposed solution and you say, that's a dumb proposed solution and it won't work, don't stop there. Keep going and figure out, but you know what will work is this, because this has got to stop, man. This is just a horrible, horrible, horrible part of our society, man. And as much as we like to just, again, have fun and keep it light and all those things, man, we just want to be help people be entertained and maybe take their mind off this stuff. This one hit our community hard. I mean, my son's nowhere close to UNLV, but they had to soft lock down his school just as you know, the way
streets are still locked down. Streets are locked down still, like I-15, a section of I-15 locked down, but still as of right now, looking at like when the Metro posts, like they're still like Trop and some of the other streets are still locked down, still trying to take care of that stuff. So, I mean, it's still in a sense ongoing over there. But yeah, I mean, it affects the community in crazy ways. But I think you're right. I think the what you touched on there too is, once the conversation has been starting, let the conversation stay a conversation and stay talking about things. Let's not get to the point where, you know, if people want to talk about it, like, let's talk about it and try to find a solution. I think what people happens is the conversation happens and then it stops and then some other incident happens and then it brings it back up and then the conversation comes back up and then people are fueled because they're like, why are we still dealing with this? It's because the conversation, you know, stopped at some point. But I still want to hear facts. I mean, I think the biggest part in my mind is I haven't heard the details. I think a lot of people are probably wondering, well, what was he using? You know, was this an assault rifle? Was this? Everybody likes to, you know, assume that it's an assault rifle, and then they want to call for assault rifle bans and blah, 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 blah. I haven't heard anything in terms of what this guy was using. Not that that really matters at the end of the day, because life was still taken. But those things do sort of matter in the conversation, you know, as a whole. But regardless, but our thoughts and prayers, should you do the prayer thing for those affected to this? I mean, it's a senseless violence. I don't know what this guy's story was. It's not like there's any good answer or reasoning or rhyme for people doing horrible shit. Yeah, it sucks that kind of took place today. I mean, so it kind of puts it all in perspective, you know, as we're sitting there in the Apex doing our shit, and we're just like, all of a sudden it was just like, I had zero fucks about the rest of media day.
No desire to be there whatsoever.
It was kind of tough to kind of keep going into it. It was just like, why are we still here? I was like, I want to go home and figure out what's happening down the street, you know, in our community. And I was like, it just really kind of put it into perspective. Like, this is all meaningless.
I think you said it, man. I think you nailed it though, man. Just keep the conversation going and don't let the differences in opinion turn into an argument where now you're arguing about that instead of like finding a solution. Like, just, this seems to be an issue that we're like, I don't care what the politics are. Like, we all have to agree that the end goal is the same, and however we get there, we get there, and don't stop working to get there. You know what I mean? So, you know, not that our little silly MMA show is going to change anything, but just it can't go without mentioning it, because I had the same thing. I didn't want to talk MMA either, but it's what we do. It's what we do. We wanted to have some fun, but it would be an absolute disservice to not mention it all and give our thoughts, and hopefully we can work forward. So, again, that'll be enough from us. You don't come to us for that perspective, but it is our community, and it is important to us, and we try to share our lives with you, the good things and the bad. And while we talk about MMA, we try to share our lives with you as well, so you know a little something about us. So, anyway, listen, lots of MMA from all over the globe. Myself in Fortaleza, cold coffee at the PI, covering the event that moved from China. I mean, that's how we do. We're moving, we're shaking, we're continents, we're big movers like that. If you want to help support the show to a different level, head over to patreon.com/MMA Roadshow and help up to sign up to help us over there. Otherwise, if you can just share the word, if you can leave some feedback, if you can raise reviews, all that stuff means something. Appreciate anybody and everybody that ever spends any time with us at all. It truly means the world, and thanks for listening.